I don't know how many of you follow country music, but George Jones, not too long ago, out of all people, had a song out called Choices. He said that he's living and dying by the choices he made. And some of the choices he made before he ever sung that song were a whole lot worse probably than the ones he made afterwards. But we all have choices. And God's people had choices. They had choices throughout the time that they were God's people. They were in bondage, finding themselves making brick for the Egyptians. A man named Moses is picked to be their leader and announces to them that God has said he would be with them and they could escape bondage. They could leave the bondage of Egypt, leave all that toil behind and go to the land that had been promised to their fathers. That was something that many had looked forward to, probably something that many had forgotten. Moses is chosen as their leader. They make their way toward the land of Canaan. Someone says it's likely a 2 week or so trip. Well, it turned into more of an excursion than it did a two-week trip. They had individuals going to the land to check it out. 12 individuals. 10 came back and says, you know, we don't want to try that. We don't want to try it. It's impossible. Giants. We're just like giants in the land. We're just like grasshoppers. Two of the men came back, though, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we can do it. Because you see, God is on our side. You know, that's something we always need to keep in mind. That God is with us. That God is with us. He not only says that in the Old Testament, but he says that throughout the New Testament. Years have passed. The people are in the land of promise. Moses has died without getting into the land, though he was able to view it. He's buried just outside the land of promise before they crossed the Jordan River on dry land. With Moses' death, Joshua became the leader. Caleb was still alive. 40 years had passed. All of those who had left the land of Egypt had died except these two of that generation. So you got two men that at a later time when the land's divided are in the 80s. The rest of them, I guess the oldest would have been in their 40s, wouldn't it? Got quite a generation gap. Joshua needs to speak to them. He's getting old up in age. The land's been divided, and now folks are going to be headed in their various directions to get to their homes. He gathers those that he desires, and he speaks to them. What will be his lesson? He's going to talk about choices. He's going to talk about choices. Joshua 24:14-15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So how is Joshua going to be received with this speech? It's a challenge. A challenge to those people. And we're going to focus I thought this morning on the words of Joshua when he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, those of us who are Christians have made a choice. But there are additional choices that we make along the road as we walk, as we stand up for Jesus. As we walk in the sunlight, the three points in his speech that I would like for us to earnestly consider this morning. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The first point that I'd like to look at is note the importance of choice. The importance of choice. Have you chosen? Are you committed? Are you consecrated? Joshua said to these people, you have a choice to make whether you will serve God. He first reviewed their history and showed them that God had been with them. He said, you think all the back down through there, you know, they wasn't in their thinking, but they were told that God had helped them. They knew when they crossed the Jordan River that God was with them. As they came in, as they conquered the various people in the land, God was with them. It could not be done without it. Jericho, the battle there. God, the battle is the Lord's, as David said in 1 Samuel 17:47, I believe. God had faithfully dealt with them. He said, you need to make a choice. You recall the crossing of that Jordan River on dry land? You need to make a choice. Do you recall marching around Jericho all those number of times and you wondering, well, what's going to happen? And the walls fell down on that seventh day. Make a choice. The numerous battles that you engaged in where you were greatly outnumbered, and that yet you won the battle. God was with you. Make a choice. You know, sometimes we fail to make choices, don't we? Sometimes we just drift along. We'll talk about Bible study. And you'll say, oh yes, it'd be good to come to Bible study. It'd be good to get back into coming on Wednesday night. It sure would. I intend to. That's not a choice. Well, it is a choice. It's a choice to say no. I don't need it. I don't need God that much. God doesn't need me. Other Christians don't need me. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made a statement, Matthew 6:24, said, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. He knew how we would be pulled one way and the other. Remember, Joshua said, now you could serve the gods of your fathers before the flood. You can serve the gods of the people that are in your country. But he said, make up your mind what you're going to do. And then do it. Sometimes we're just like I used to wade in the creek and throw rocks and everything out on my granddaddy's place. But we'd put leaves or something in the creek and then we'd go down a ways and wait and see if a leaf ever got down there, because it would drift with the current. And sometimes that's what we're doing in life. It's what we're doing as Christians. Everything's going to take care of itself. Everything will be all right without me being involved. I don't need to make a choice to do that. Well, guess what? The lack of making a choice is a choice. It is a choice. Do I get up early on Sunday morning? Well, they hired me to preach here. You know, I get up early on Sunday morning. Maybe we need to hire y'all to preach here. To teach Bible classes. You'd be here on time for Bible study. 5 o'clock this afternoon. I know probably it's good nap time. Or I feel bad after getting up from my nap. We need to go out to eat tonight. Or company has come. Is that where we want to find ourselves with Jesus? We don't know when Jesus is coming again. What's going to be the circumstances in my life when he comes again? Now, I won't be judged solely on that basis, but I sure will be embarrassed or not. You know, as Christians, we need to have a sense of purpose in life. And we can have purpose. We mentioned in our class this morning that some people go around without any purpose. And that's demoralizing sometimes to do certain things and then to see no end result of it or not to know, well, there's something better than this life. There's also something better in this life. That's living for Christ, as he would have us. We have a definite goal in view. Remember Paul in Philippians 3, I think Gary used this recently, Philippians 3:13. Paul said, this one thing I do. He said, I forget those things that are behind me. And he said, I look toward those things that are before me. And I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. There's a little bit of pressing to do. I remember when we used to have these old irons down on the fireplace and we needed to press our clothes or something, you'd bear down on those clothes. You'd have to get that iron off pretty quick because it might be too hot. But you'd press down on those clothes to get those wrinkles out and put a crease in those pants. And pressing, pushing on, staying with it, being steadfast, being unmovable, knowing, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our living for God is not in vain if we're living for Him. Closing the choice that we have, Joshua says, is an individual one. He says, choose you. And he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah. He was the head of that house, and he spoke for his people. He spoke for the people in that house because he was responsible for them spiritually. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I can't say as for you and your house. You and your house don't have to make up your own mind, Joshua says. Joshua's going to be dead pretty soon. He's no longer going to be around to cajole him, to push him, to encourage him, to pat him on the back. In light of the past, we have to choose as Joshua expected Israel to choose. In Romans 14:12, Paul looked into the future. We need to look that way too in light of his warning. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We must make a choice. We must make an individual choice. I know we're influenced by others, but we must make that decision ourselves. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Also, there's an urgency. Urgency in his challenge. In our country, we have a saying, better late than never. And that might not be a bad saying as long as we know when that is. Sometimes late becomes never. So it's not better. Better late than never is what someone wants to procrastinate says. Better late than never. It is better late than never. But don't depend on it. Don't depend on late getting here. One of the greatest curses that we have is procrastination, putting off things. Said that tomorrow is the day in which idle men work. I'll do it tomorrow. Especially as we get older, because of our memory sometimes, the saying tomorrow will never come is true. Tomorrow will never come. We got to get it done and get it done today. Joshua saw the importance of making a choice, but he also saw the need for urgency. Choose you this day. Because, see, we're not promised tomorrow, are we? We're not promised tonight. We need to live with a sense of urgency. I know we get back, we leave this building, we go to eat somewhere, we go home, we watch the television, or we start reading the newspaper, and we're out there in the world again, influenced by all those thoughts and all the things that we read and we hear and we think that others say, and we're not influenced by the Christians then. We're not influenced by God. We should be. Choose you this day. We're taught by God's word that it's not safe to wait. Today is the day of salvation. What we need to have is a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency. A do it now spirit. There's some shut in that you haven't called. You say, well, I just keep putting it off. I hate to call them now. I hadn't called them in 3 months or 6 months. I've never visited Sister Tassie out there at Rebecca. She won't even remember me. So what? She needs a visit. Richard Sanders sitting out there at his home all by himself. Maybe he likes it all by himself. But all by himself is not good. Being all alone is not good. Jesus didn't die on the cross to purchase the church with his own blood that folks should live alone. There is a community called the church, and there is togetherness in the church. For there is no church. Is there someone you need know that needs encouragement? Do it now. Do it today. Do it today. You can go do it today. Call them. Send them a card today. If there's something amiss in your life. I've had certain people tell me, you know, there's some things, Jim, I know what I need to do, but there's some things I need to get straight. You better get it straight today. Otherwise, I don't have to tell you. Otherwise, what? Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He was going to be all that a mortal should be. Tomorrow. No one should be kinder or braver than he. Tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew would be glad of a lift. And who needed it too. On him he would call and see what he could do. Tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters that he'd write. Tomorrow. And thought of folks he would fill with delight. Tomorrow. It was too bad indeed he was busy today. And hadn't a minute to stop on his way. More time he would give to others, he'd say. Tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been. Tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen. Tomorrow. But the fact is, he died. And he faded from view. And all that he left when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do. tomorrow. Jesus spoke of the importance of the present, importance of today. John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. And we don't know the hour or the minute of the day that Jesus will come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet. Oh, we'll hear it. It won't be like those sirens that go off or tornadoes that you don't hear. It's going to be heard. Stephen Grillet said, I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do or any kindness I can show to any fellow human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. The particular group you see around you today is not likely to ever be together again. That's sad, isn't it? But not everyone here this Sunday will be here next Sunday. And there'll be some others, so that won't be the same group. Not likely. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The third point and last point of Joshua's challenge was the importance of service. The importance of service. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We don't make a choice to sit in a building and worship God, quote, in spirit and truth, and leave undone everything else that's in the Bible. The most important choice we can ever make is the person that we choose to serve. Who will be our master? Jesus is called Lord, says he now sits at the right hand of the Father on high, and he's both Lord and Christ. Joshua made the statement, the children of Israel choose you this day whom you will serve, and then he let them know what his choice was. You see, sometimes that's necessary. It's necessary to ceremonialize. It's necessary to speak something aloud, to let people know, I'm committed to this. Like Paul said, this one thing I do. He tells them that he made a choice. He was not filled with indecision, and he didn't delay. He knew that the time was right for this particular speech. He says, as for me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 4:10, in answer to the last of the three temptations that are mentioned there, temptations by Satan in the wilderness, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So it goes beyond worship. It goes to service. And he said, as for me and my house, Joshua was the head of his house. And he made the decision and made sure all were on board in his house. And really, he didn't know whether anybody else would fall in line, would follow. But regardless of what they did, he was going to do what he knew was right. And he did. What he decided individually, he avowed openly. He didn't keep it a secret. We're servants of God. We can't be silent. We can't be neutral. We can't just sit back and say everything's going to take care of itself. I'm along for the ride. When we have open confession of God and the fact that we, like Joshua, desire to continue to serve him, that shows a firmness That shows a firmness that would enable someone else to stand up. It's no telling how many people we influence. Now, which way are we influencing them? Are they going to become better Christians? Are they going to grow spiritually because of me? Or are they going to die on the vine because of me? Some may say, and place their security in material things. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Some of our friends have gone for pleasure seeking, haven't they? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Though some may be cast down in doubt. Like we've read in the paper lately, there's some people saying, you know, there are no Adam and Eve. And it doesn't matter whether there was an Adam or Eve or not. As a Christian, I can still believe it does matter. The authority of God's Word is being called into question. And that makes God angry. When He looked down upon the world and saw wickedness continually there in Genesis chapter 6, God was angry. God repented Him that He made man. Boy, it's a bad idea. It's been said those that are bound for heaven must be willing to swim against the stream. And not do as the most do, but do as the best do. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Have you selected your master? One who's to rule in your life and yet you've reneged on that promise or that vow? Did it have any meaning? Did it have any meaning then or now? Remember the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation had many works, many things that they did that were bragged on. But they had left their first love. Brethren, that's the motivation, isn't it? That's the reason behind something. They were doing, and they were doing maybe right things, but for the wrong reasons. Remember the importance of choice. Joshua's challenge, our challenge. Choose you. This day whom you will serve. No man can serve two masters. Point Joshua was making. Make a choice. Now some was going to choose to follow the other gods. At least they made a choice. They made a decision. Remember the importance of the present. Urgency of choosing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. A lot of times we're convinced this day that a certain way, that a certain thing should be done this way, that our lives should take this way, that we should do this and do that. By tomorrow, we don't have those same thoughts, the same motivation. We've rationalized them away again and again and again. Remember the importance of service to God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, Jesus said, and Him only shalt thou serve. Those are the words we need in our heart in order to stand up against Satan. But they not only need to be words that we've memorized or words that we've, quote, hidden in their heart, they need to be so in-depth in our lives, in our souls, that that's the way we live. And no one can turn us away from our stated goal. He that thinketh he standeth needs to take heed, lest he fall. Can we truly echo the words of Joshua as the people of Israel did that day? But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Yes, Joshua. He made that challenging speech. It moves me. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If you're here today and not a Christian, you've not made that choice initially, there's a choice you need to make. You will go from this building having made a choice of either accepting Christ as your Savior or rejecting Christ as your Savior. As a Christian, you need to seriously consider what choices you're making in life. Whether you're continuing to follow the vow that you made to Jesus Christ and to God, that Him only would you worship. Him only would you serve. If there's need for prayer in your life, we'd be glad to pray with you. Sometimes it's just good to get on your knees somewhere at home and pray to God yourself. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So don't be embarrassed to tell God that you're sinning. He knows it. He's your Father. He'll listen. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, would you do that this morning as we stand and sing?